On today's show, the debate raging across the NBA media landscape, the ballots being cast for all-rookie first and second team. Is Jalen Green an all-rookie first team nominee, or should he be all-rookie second team? Bill Simmons with some very choice words for Houston's franchise cornerstone, goalpost shifting, narrative tweeting, faulty logic, and more being debunked on today's episode of Locked on Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another edition of Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, also host of Locked on NBA Mondays, co-host of State of the Rockets, and founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show, of course, at Locked on Rockets. And man, this is going to be an episode because we have a lot to unpack. The current debate raging across the NBA media landscape with so many talking heads and media pundits that cover the NBA revealing their ballots that they cast for the season end awards this year. And the one that is of main concern to Rockets fans, the ballot for all rookie first and second team and where Jalen Green may or may not land amongst those vote havers. Now, we're going to unpack a lot of this and the current debate raging between Jalen Green, Herb Jones, first team, second team, all of that. But where we have to start is one, Bill Simmons. Now, look, I know there is no love lost between Houston fans, and I say Houston fans because Bill Simmons takes exception to every Houston sport, not just the Rockets. There's no love lost between Houston fans and Bill Simmons. That rivalry, that whatever, the vitriol goes way back. Now, here's where I take a lot of exception to what's been going on, is it's one thing to have the argument Herb Jones over Jalen Green. Sure. As much as I disagree with that, that's fine. Have that take. I think it's a crappy take. Have that take. And I will debunk that take here in the second segment and focus my energies there. But where I take extreme exception, where a lot of people have taken extreme exception, is Bill Simmons went on his podcast and in, you know, the midst of a conversation, you know, discussing their ballots, the, you know, all rookie first and second teams, all of this, he was on his podcast and said, and I quote, "Fuck Jalen Green. I don't care if he's scoring 40. And that follows it up by, you know, going on to say, you know, likes what Jalen Green's doing. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be good, all this stuff, you know, kind of a half-assed way of like walking back what he said. But that is, to me, pretty unacceptable behavior for somebody that has a vote that is impactful towards NBA players' careers, right? That's what these vote havers do. They have a power over things like, you know, career accolades, monetary incentives, bonuses, you know, all these different things that go into these types of awards, these first team, you know, rookie selections, all NBA selections, individual accolades like MVP, DPOY, Sixth Man of the Year, all these different things. And Bill Simmons is a guy with a vote that can impact these things. And so if he were to just come out and be like, oh, well, I like Herb Jones more because I think Herb Jones contributes to winning and Jalen Green's putting up empty stats, that's fine. But to come out and say F Jalen Green, that is a completely different dynamic and needs to be highlighted in the fact that this is an NBA media, like journalist, whatever you want to call him, with an actual vote whose opinion does matter and apparently has some type of inherent bias towards Jalen Green. This dates all the way back to the pre-draft process leading into the 2021 NBA draft, where looking at all the top guys, Bill Simmons pointed at Jalen Green and said, you know, that all the top guys look like we guys, and Jalen Green looks like an I guy, right? Like, that's pretty ridiculous. So there's already a built-in inherent bias from Bill Simmons towards Jalen Green for this you know, specific award at hand. And then not only that, it's the faulty logic that is being used to prop up arguments in favor of Herb Jones and the absolute goalpost moving that is taking place in this entire debate. And the basis on which Bill Simmons tried to retroactively defend his original take after Cron.com ran an article on his stance in the podcast, mounting, explicatives at Jalen Green, however jokingly he was doing it, right? Whatever. He defended it by saying, I am just always going to lean towards players who contribute more to winning. When has that ever mattered in the context of a rookie award? When does winning matter in the context of an award that is based on rookies who go to teams that are inherently bad? Like, that part makes absolutely zero sense to me. The logic, the logic, the mental hurdles that you have to jump through to try to justify that makes absolutely zero sense. To put it in perspective, right? People keep throwing like plus minus numbers out. Like, oh, Jalen Green had the worst plus minus of all the rookies, or the worst plus minus in the NBA this season. Guess what? Kevin Durant in his rookie year had the absolute worst plus minus his rookie year as well. Other rookies who just put up like stats on bad teams, Kyrie Irving was 17-34 his rookie year with a plus minus of minus 3.2 for the entire season. Kevin Durant, again, worst plus minus the entire season, was 19-61 with a plus minus of negative 8.2. Allen Iverson was 20-56 in his rookie season with a plus minus of minus 5.8. So using Bill Simmons' faulty ass logic, none of those players deserved for, you know, any level of recognition for rookie of the year or for all rookie first teams or whatever, because you know what? They're just putting up empty stats on a bad team, right? That's the logic, and it should track that way. And here's the best part is, And you know what? Also, I'm going to continue this rant, this tirade, because I'm not done. I've got so much more to unload about this. I want to get into the actual debate, Jalen Green versus Herb Jones. I want to talk about some of the other, you know, stats that I looked up, some of the other takes that I have, you know, regarding this whole situation. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because look, Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and info than ever before. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, the draft, and more. And speaking of the draft, BetOnline has your odds covered. Who's going to be the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft? Right now, they've got Jabari Smith Jr., the favorite, at plus 110 to go number one overall in this year's draft. Following him closely is Chet Holmgren at plus 170. And then in third place, they've got Paolo Banchero at plus 225. Who do you think goes number one overall in this year's NBA draft? Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, as always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So, continuing down this annoying rabbit hole that is Bill Simmons and this whole debate, and I have to continue focusing on the Bill Simmons part of it for a moment, because before I move into just the larger argument at hand here, which is Jalen Green over Herb Jones for all rookie first team, we have to go back and take a look at what Bill Simmons wrote about Kevin Durant in his rookie season and his thoughts on KD. So first off, shout out to Andrew Sukup, loyal listener to the podcast, for finding this piece of information from Bill Simmons, who of course regurgitated like 1,000 words on the subject. But here are some of Bill Simmons' words praising Kevin Durant in his rookie season. Has a highly touted rookie ever been thrown into a worse situation than Durant in Seattle? As a teenager, KD was expected to lead a dysfunctional lottery team with a new coach, played out of position, had veteran teammates complaining because they were worried about their own stats. Basically, you know, somehow Durant evolved into a legitimate scorer after the All-Star break, 21.3 points and 47% shooting, even though defenses were keying in on him and he weighs about 120 pounds. Huh. That last line's pretty interesting. Let's change some of the verbiage here in this last line. Somehow, Green evolved into a legitimate scorer after the All-Star break. Plug in Jalen Green's stats after the All-Star break, even though defenses were keying in on him and he weighs about 120 pounds. Huh. There's some, you know, very interesting parallels here. So, you know, he continues to say, you know, KD's going to average 30 plus a game and it's going to happen sooner than you think. Talks about Durant gets extra credit for his performance in Seattle's last and potentially final two home games where he dropped a career high 37 points. Again, really similar to a Jalen Green that posted a career high 41 points, the only rookie to drop 40 this NBA season. And somehow that doesn't even register on Bill Simmons' radar? After all, you know, thousand some odd words on Kevin Durant and all, you know, everything KD did during his rookie season. And yet somehow Jalen Green doesn't get that same benefit of the doubt despite being on the worst team in the NBA. The cognitive dissonance is just astounding when it comes to Bill Simmons. So there's that. I'm going to disregard, as much as I usually try to disregard whatever Bill Simmons is spewing. Usually I try to keep him off my radar, but he decided to become the main character yesterday, and so here we are. Now, we get into the actual argument, right, of Herb Jones versus Jalen Green. And here's the lazy-ass take that keeps being thrown around, is that Herb Jones is impactful to winning, right? Herb Jones directly impacts winning. It's a lot easier to impact winning when you get to be an ancillary piece to a team, right? When you get to be like the fourth or fifth option offensively and all you have to do is worry about defense, right? When you've got two all-star guys to help carry you offensively in CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram. Jalen Green is the number one option for the Houston Rockets, or at worst, the number two option for the Houston Rockets. He is being tasked with creating offense for the Houston Rockets team. Not Herb Jones. Herb Jones doesn't have to go out there. He shoots spot-up shots. That's all he has to do, right? Maybe he runs a little bit in transition. That's what he brings to the table offensively. Now, I want people to understand, Herb Jones has had an incredible rookie season. He absolutely has. I love what he's done. And I hate that people are using Herb Jones to prop up anti-Jalen Green arguments. And that's where a lot of this has kind of stemmed from, is suddenly this became less so of a debate between, oh, who should get first team, second team. It became a way for people who have apparently inherent biases towards Jalen Green to prop up their arguments, their anti-Jalen Green arguments, using Herb Jones being like, oh, well, Herb Jones actually contributes to winning and Jalen Green's putting up empty stats. Keep the same energy for Cade Cunningham then. Like, what? Keep the same energy for Franz Wagner. Like, why are those guys not being called out for quote-unquote empty stats on two of the other worst teams in the association? It makes absolutely zero sense. If you're going to hold Jalen Green to that standard and try to hold him off of the all-rookie first team because he's putting up empty stats on a bad team, then why is Cade in the running for Rookie of the Year? Take Cade Cunningham out of the running for Rookie of the Year. Take Franz Wagner out of the running for Rookie of the Year, if that's your sentiment, right? If your sentiment is that the rookie should be impacting winning somehow and should be contributing to winning basketball, then why is Herb Jones not suddenly a finalist for Rookie of the Year? Makes absolutely zero sense. Scotty Barnes, sure. Make the case for him, right? Evan Mobley, absolutely, sure. But all these guys, Mobley, Barnes, Herbert Jones, they're not tasked with being the guy, right? They're not tasked with being the guy creating the offense, steering the ship for these teams, going out there and generating all this offense, right? They're not the ones that have defenses keying in on them on a nightly basis. It makes zero sense whatsoever. So there's a lot of goalpost shifting happening. There's a lot of just, you know, BS arguments being thrown around, faulty logic, all that. And one of the worst ones that I see consistently is that Jalen Green is a trash defender. Now, here's the problem, right? And people throw out these plus-minus stats and like, oh, well, Jalen Green was horrendous and all that. The problem is inherently plus-minus is a stat that factors in the other five dudes on the court. Sorry, the other four dudes on the court. It counts all five guys. So when it comes to Jalen Green, you can't throw out plus-minus and be like, Jalen Green had the worst. Yes, because he played on a terrible team. Herb Jones played on an actually like somewhat decent team that was still well below 500. Like, it's not like the Pelicans are a good team. They barely, you know, managed to scrape it into the play-in tournament. So the fact is, plus minus is a terrible stat to try and go off of. And then people are going to throw out the other advanced stats, Raptor and this metric and that metric and all of that. When I can cherry pick a stat, an advanced stat, if I want to try and prop up Jalen Green as a defender, which I did, because it's that easy to do to cherry pick advanced stats and try to make your guy look better than the other guy. Jalen Green in isolation defense allowed just 0.66 points per 100 possessions. That is good enough for the 89th percentile, and that is better than the likes of, I want to make sure I get my stats right here before I pull up those numbers. Yeah. So, Jalen Green, isolation defense, 0.66 points per possession, 89th percentile, minimum 20 possessions. That's better than Danny Green, Drew Holiday, Davion Mitchell, Mikhail Bridges, and Herb Jones. See how easy that was? I can pull a stat out of nowhere that makes it look like Jalen Green is a good defender. Now, the thing is he is actually a good isolation defender, and he's been a good isolation defender all season long. When you put Jalen Green in isolation, if you actually watch him play, he has the tools, he has the wherewithal to be a good one-on-one defender. The problem is the Rockets' team scheme and their situational awareness, all of that. Is Jalen Green an elite defender like Herb Jones? Absolutely not. Like Herb Jones was borderline all-NBA defense this year, right? And he should get some all-NBA defensive votes. He absolutely should. He was a very, very impactful player on the defensive end for the Pelicans. I'm not taking any of that away from him. That said, the comparison between the two, and basically looking at Herb Jones and saying, okay, he gives you on defense, you know, like, I don't know, 80%, 70%, whatever of like a, you know, a prime, like Tony Allen or something. And Jalen Green is giving you essentially what like a young rookie, like, I don't know, Kobe Bryant would give you. The argument that I keep seeing thrown around is that this is a like a season-long award and that Herb Jones has had more impact over the duration of the entire season. And I can maybe see that argument, but at the same time, I think that the gap offensively between Jalen Green and Herb Jones is monumental compared to the gap defensively between these two guys. And the case in point here is if you were to ask any Pelicans fans, hey, would you swap Herb Jones for Jalen Green? Any one of them that actually has a rational bone in their body would say absolutely in a heartbeat, yes. And if that doesn't prove who the better player was this season, whatever, again, I think the metric of basing this somehow on a win-loss record is absolutely ridiculous. Because if Herb Jones was on the worst team in the association or one of the bottom five teams in the league and still doing all the things he was doing right now defensively, he wouldn't be getting nearly as much attention because now he's on a play-in team that is sort of vying for a playoff spot, and that's why he's getting the attention he's getting. That's it. That's simple. Case in point. So I'm not done with this yet. I've got a couple more points that I want to hit on regarding this argument, as well as I want to go ahead and cast my ballots for all rookie first and second team. We'll get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Shady Rays. Because look, when it comes to Shady Rays, they have you covered with actual like quality sunglasses. It's an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something that you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every single pair. They'll send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. exclusively for our listeners. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Locked On hosts covering the NBA Monday through Friday, the biggest stories from around the league. I host the Monday show, three interviews with hosts from around the network. Always a ton of fun. Be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to the argument at hand here, Jalen Green versus Herb Jones. As far as like impact is concerned, right? And back to the whole point regarding, you know, winning basketball versus empty stats, all of this, right? If you're going to argue Herb Jones over Jalen Green for the all-rookie first team, then I want you to keep that same energy, similar to the rookie of the year debate I made earlier. I want you to keep that same energy for Cade Cunningham and Franz Wagner, right? Those two guys haven't contributed to winning basketball, because the Pistons and the Magic are also bottom five teams in the NBA. So if you're going to use that logic on Herb Jones over Jalen Green, doesn't make any sense. And then here's the final kicker, right? This is the final little like nail in the coffin that I have, is I keep seeing people say that Jalen Green was bad for two-thirds of the season, that Jalen Green had a bad start to the season that was bad, didn't start to figure it out and pick things up until post-All-Star break. That could not be further from the truth. Now, it is true, Jalen Green started the season really rough. In his first 18 games, he averaged 14 points, 3.1 rebounds, 2.3 assists on really terrible efficiency. He was shooting 38% from the floor and 28% from three. That is poo-poo. That's just terrible. That said, those first 18 games, the Rockets were running the double big lineup. That was straight atrocious. Or the, you know, double non-shooter lineup, whatever you want to call it, right? If you want to, like, you know, focus on the sins of the double big, or if you want to focus on the sins of having Tice and Tate out there, neither of whom could shoot consistently, whatever you want to attribute the struggles to, that lineup for the first 18 game seasons, or first 18 games of the season, was stinking it up something fierce. And that caused a lot of issues for Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, respectively. Like, they couldn't get any driving lanes going. They couldn't get anything easy, and they were having to force up a lot of terrible shots from the outside. It was a really rough stretch of the season. So that's the first 18 games of Jalen Green's season. The next 49 games of his season, so after coming back from the hamstring injury, Jalen Green averaged 18.5 points per game, 3.5 boards, 2.7 assists, 0.7 steals, shot 44% from the floor, 36% from three, and I believe it was about 46% true shooting percentage, or not, sorry, I apologize, 56% true shooting percentage, but I want to double check the true shooting really quick to make sure I've actually got that number correct. I should have had it pulled up, and I did not, so let's double check the true shooting here. Yeah, 0.562 true shooting percentage. Those are really, really stellar numbers. So not only did he really start to figure it out after coming back from the hamstring injury and actually, you know, having space to work with on the floor, what a novel concept. So not only did he figure it out then, he also exploded to end the season. He had 30 plus points in six of his last seven games of the season, including a 41 point performance in the final game of the season, a career high 41. No other rookie scored 40 in the NBA this year. Like, how you were trying to hold this man off of the all-rookie first team is just absurd to me. And again, it's like these pundits are making it out to seem like he had an atrocious entire season, when realistically, he struggled for the first 18 games or so. You know what I could do right now? And I bet this will be really funny. Let's go look up a fun stat here. Let's see what I can find. Let's go. That looks like about, okay, what? That's about 18 games. Okay, let's hit go and let's see what we got here. Okay. First 18 games of the season for one Cade Cunningham, after missing the first, you know, handful of the season due to injury and then getting off to a rough start. Cade Cunningham averaged 14.9 points per contest, 6.6 boards, 4.6 assists, 3.8 turnovers, and he was shooting 38% from the floor and 31% from three. Those are pretty atrocious numbers. And guess what? Cade seemingly is given much more leash because he started to figure it out and he started to really piece it together and he finished the season really, really strong. So yeah, he should absolutely be in the running for Rookie of the Year and he should absolutely be in the running for All-Rookie First Team. And yet, that same energy is not kept for one Jalen Green. None of this makes any sense. I am just up to here with the NBA media landscape and talking heads, Bill Simmons, KOC, who I usually agree with going this way as well. Zach Lowe even made the same argument. Like it's actually really crazy to see so many people against Jalen Green. It's almost like there's like a, it's almost like there's like an Illuminati conspiracy theory where there needs to be like a guy that everybody's kind of pinning as like the bust from this past year's NBA draft. Maybe like they're all just hell bent on like one of these top rookies has to be a bust. Like, I guess we'll just pick Jalen Green because he was the guy that everybody pegged was going to be the bust to begin with. And nobody wants to talk about Jalen Suggs, who hasn't, you know, his, you know, it disappointed heavily this entire season. So, I mean, the whole situation is absolutely exhausting. I had zero intentions of doing an entire episode kind of railing against the faulty logic that so many of these talking heads are using in this debate. And again, that's the whole situation is mind-numbingly exhausting at this point. But where I will leave off with is I will cast my ballots for you know, not that anybody cares, but I'll go ahead and throw out my ballots for all rookie first and second team. And the way that I would do it, if I had a vote, which, hey, maybe one day I'll have a vote and I'll actually be able to like impact like proper change in the NBA. But right now I don't have a vote. So, you know, maybe we'll get there one day. I would go first team, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Scottie Barnes, Franz Wagner, and Herbert Jones. No, I kid. No, not Herb Jones. Jalen Green. That would be my all-rookie first team. Now, for my second team, I'm absolutely going to put Herb Jones there. He's been incredible. He's had a great, solid year. I just don't think that his defensive output outweighs what Jalen Green has done and shown offensively. Namely, because if you were to flip the two, again, nobody would give two shits about what Herb Jones is doing if he were on the Houston Rockets right now. He would not be getting the attention, and nobody would care about his, you know, quote-unquote defensive output. Doesn't matter. I try not to curse on this podcast. Anybody who's met me in real life knows I curse like a sailor, but I try to keep it relatively PG-13 or PG on this podcast. That said, Herb Jones' second team, Josh Giddey, Ayo Dosunmu, absolutely has to be on there. Bones Highland, I'll throw on there. And then this one's maybe my like controversial pick. Davion Mitchell, I think absolutely deserves it. I think there's a bunch of different areas you could go with that final pick. Alperen Şengün is another one who could be like an honorable mention for that final pick. Maybe Kuminga with the Warriors could be an honorable mention. Chris Duarte had a really strong season with the Indiana Pacers, but that's kind of where I kind of fall with my 10 picks more or less. And then if you followed like the, you know, rookie of the year race at all, Steve Ashburner, who's been doing like the rookie ladder every single week and really like honing in on and focusing in on these rookies across the NBA landscape. This is very similar to his ballot cast for the all rookie, you know, the all rookie first and second team, which again are non, you know, they're not position, you know, specific. So, and you know what, here's an argument that I could actually like maybe entertain Herb Jones over Franz Wagner. Like I could hear that. I'd be willing to, you know, entertain that argument if you're hell bent on putting Herb Jones on the all rookie first team. What I am not willing to accept is that there are five rookies better in the NBA than Jalen Green right now. Don't tell me that it's a season-long award, because guess what? If it's a season-long award, Cade Cunningham shouldn't be in the running for it because he struggled to start the season. Keep the same energy. That's all I want from the talking heads. That's all I want from fans who are trying to have debates about this and who keep throwing plus-minus in my face thinking it's somehow some kind of a gotcha stat when it's really not. Huh. This entire podcast has been hopefully like a therapy session for you listening to it. I'm happy that I got to vent a little bit about the stupidity running around in the NBA media landscape, as well as along some of the fans that are entrenched in their certain beliefs. And again, I think the worst thing in all of this is that Herb Jones is for some reason catching strays. Like, I love what Herb Jones has done. He's been an incredible defender this year. He's been an incredible player this season. But again, he's a beneficiary of the situation that he's in, right? Because he's not expected to be the guy, right? He's an ancillary piece, just like Evan Mobley, just like Scotty Barnes. None of those three guys are expected to be the go-to guy. And hey, speaking of Evan Mobley, right? Suddenly, Evan Mobley's looking awful suspect on defense without Jarrett Allen next to him to kind of anchor things. Not to mention, Herb Jones' defense has been incredible. Yeah, but guess what it's like to have a backline of Jonas Valanciunas and Jackson Hayes? Guess how aggressive you get to be as a perimeter point of attack defender when you've got 2 7-foot giants back there to block everything to kingdom come that may or may not get into the paint if you're the Pelicans. There's a lot of different variables to consider when you're thinking about these awards. Ultimately, I think Jalen Green's been one of the 5 best rookies this season, and I don't think that's like a scorching hot take, personally. I think if you look at the numbers, if you've actually watched him play and you actually watched him get better defensively, you've watched him play make, you've watched him learn how to impact the game with his athleticism, and you've watched him blossom into an incredible scoring talent. You know, there are a bunch of guys that, you know, talking heads have said, oh, they put up empty stats on bad teams and now they're, you know, top players in the league. Guess what? Trae Young is one of those guys, right? Trae Young is absolutely one of the top premier point guards in the league in the NBA today. Guess what? Devin Booker was a guy that people said was putting up empty stats. And then suddenly last season, alongside Chris Paul, led the Phoenix Suns to the NBA Finals, right? So I don't want to hear empty stats when it comes to Jalen Green. He was playing on a horrendous basketball team that had a ton of rookies that were all trying to establish themselves. Kevin Porter Jr. trying to learn how to play point guard. A lot of different variables at play that prevented this Rockets team from being better than the actual talent on the actual roster. So I think I've got all of my points hammered home here. Was there one more thing that I wanted to make sure I check my notes? No, I think I basically got all of my... I think I let it all out. I'm going to take a deep breath. It's all good. And you know what? Jalen Green should get all rookie first team. But you know what's not going to matter is if he doesn't get all rookie first team, if he lands on all rookie second team, who cares in the grand scheme of things? Because Jalen Green, you know, 5-10 years down the line, however long it may be, he's going to be the one walking away with championships and finals trophies here in Houston. And that's what really matters. So keep that positive energy. It's all going to be okay. That said, we're going to keep manifesting Jalen Green, all rookie first team. The agenda does not stop. With that, that's going to be it for today's episode of Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. We will be continuing our exit interview series this week. We've got interviews still with Josh Christopher and Kevin Porter Jr., Stephen Silas, and Rafael Stone are all still coming out as like separate individual episodes over the remainder of this week. So we're going to finish this week with like something like 7 podcast episodes. But I didn't want to like wait to talk about any of those until next week. And then obviously this whole stuff happened with the all-rookie first team that I wanted to talk about. So just a bunch of episodes out this week. And they're all going to come out at kind of weird times, but I've just, you know, got to get them all out there. So with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you haven't done so yet, check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Tell me your feelings about Bill Simmons. There we go. Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons and Bill Simmons. I mean, neither one of them have a very effective shot. So let's just go with that. No, tell me what you think about Bill Simmons' thoughts on Jalen Green, about the whole situation. Let me know in the comments. Should Jalen Green be all rookie first team? Are we making too much of a big deal about the situation, Jalen Green versus Herb Jones? Let me know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching, so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.